All right, so today we're diving into some pretty fascinating territory. Miracles and exorcisms.
Really interesting stuff.
We're going deep into firsthand accounts and scholarly analysis, all thanks to Dr. Craig Keener, who's, you know, dedicated his career to studying these phenomena, stories, these accounts of miraculous healings and, you know, encounters with the spirit world, things that often get, you know, brushed aside as just folklore or superstition.
Yeah.
But what if there's actually more to it?
Mm-hmm.
By the end of this deep dive, I think you'll have a whole new perspective.
I think so too.
On these controversial topics.
Yeah, I really appreciate how Dr. Keener approaches this topic. It's not just from a, you know, purely academic angle. Mm-hmm. He brings in his personal experiences.
Right.
Which really makes you stop and think.
Yeah.
Like when he talks about his wife's sister.
Yeah.
Who was bitten by a venomous snake as a child.
That story really stood out to me, too. They were in a remote village.
Right.
No access to medical help. And she was found not breathing. Mm-hmm. Her mother had to carry her for 3 hours.
Wow.
To reach a minister who could pray for her.
And that's where it gets really interesting.
Right.
The child, Therese, started breathing again.
Just like that.
Full recovery. No brain damage.
It's amazing.
Despite being without oxygen for so long.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder.
It does.
How often do our personal experiences,
right,
even those that defy logic, shape what we believe is possible?
Definitely. Makes you pause and reconsider.
Absolutely. And, you know, he doesn't just focus on his own experience. He takes us around the world, basically, with all these healing accounts from 17th century Sri Lanka to 1800s Germany and 20th century Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even this Western researcher, Kurt Koch,
right,
who was initially skeptical.
Oh, wow.
Went to Indonesia, interviewed tons of witnesses, and even saw things like, you know, blind eyes being opened.
That's amazing.
It really makes you think about the sheer volume of these reports.
Yeah.
Can we really dismiss all of them as just coincidence or fabrication?
That's a great question. And it's so interesting how these modern accounts, they often mirror the types of miracles described in religious texts.
Exactly.
Like the Bible.
Uh-huh. Are there these common threads that run through all of them,
mm-hmm,
across cultures and time periods?
Yeah. And how do cultural interpretations influence how these events are,
right,
you know, perceived and explained?
Are we dealing with something universal here, or is it all just culturally constructed?
That's the question.
Yeah. Dr. Keener also brings up what we might call nature miracles.
Right.
And there's a story about Watchman Nee, a Chinese Christian leader,
mm-hmm,
who was preaching in a village where the local deity was believed to control the weather.
Okay.
And apparently this festival always had perfect weather year after year.
Oh, wow.
But one of Nee's team boldly predicted rain on the festival day.
And of course, everyone scoffed at that.
Of course, yeah. But then, on the morning of the festival, it poured.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They rescheduled it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happened again.
Wow.
It defied centuries of tradition.
Right.
And led to a wave of conversions to Christianity in that village.
So it wasn't just about the rain.
Right.
It was about the power of that event.
Exactly.
To challenge those deeply held beliefs.
Yes.
And open people up to something new.
It really makes you think. But, of course, we can't talk about miracles without addressing skepticism.
Yeah.
The philosopher David Hume, back in the 18th century,
right,
made some pretty compelling arguments against miracles that still resonate today.
I think Hume's logic is really fascinating, even if you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said miracles are violations of natural law.
Right.
And since natural law can't be broken, miracles can't happen.
Right.
But what's really interesting is that his definition of natural law was actually rooted in the deist worldview that was gaining popularity at the time.
Uh-huh.
Deists believed in a creator God.
Yeah.
But they thought he didn't really intervene.
Right.
In the world after setting it in motion.
Right.
But even many prominent scientists of Hume's time, like Isaac Newton,
mm-hmm,
believed in divine intervention.
Okay, so his argument was based on a contested premise.
Yeah.
So he's arguing against miracles by defining them in a way that already excludes them.
That's a great point. You've hit on a key flaw in his argument.
Right.
It's circular reasoning.
Yeah.
Assuming the conclusion you're trying to prove.
Exactly.
Hume said, we can't trust eyewitness accounts of miracles because they violate natural law.
Yeah.
But his definition of natural law was based on the idea that miracles don't happen.
Right. It's a bit like saying unicorns don't exist because no one's ever seen one, and no one's ever seen one because they don't exist.
Exactly.
Okay, I see how that breaks down.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, Hume claimed that uniform human experience excludes miracles. So any accounts that contradict that must be false.
But that ignores
right.
the millions of people worldwide who claim to have witnessed or experienced
yeah.
supernatural events.
It's statistically impossible to dismiss
right.
that many accounts, especially when they come from, you know, such diverse
exactly.
cultures and religions and
Time periods.
Time periods.
And what's even more interesting is that Hume's argument hinges on this idea that miracles violate these unchanging natural laws.
Right.
But modern physics, with its understanding of quantum mechanics mm-hmm. and the uncertainty principle, has shown us that the universe is far more complex
right.
and unpredictable than we once thought.
So it's like science is now challenging the very foundation of his skepticism.
In a way, yes.
Maybe we need to be more open to the possibility that what we consider natural law might be more flexible.
Right. I think that's key.
Than we realize.
Yeah, it's not about blindly accepting every claim.
Right.
But about being willing to reconsider our assumptions.
Right.
About what's possible.
About what's possible, yeah. And that brings us to another important point.
Yeah.
The limits of applying the scientific method to unique
yes.
historical events.
Right.
Science thrives on repeatability,
mm-hmm.
but miracles by their very nature are often singular events.
Right.
This doesn't make them any less real.
Right.
But it does mean we might need different tools
yeah.
to assess their validity.
It's like trying to study a lightning strike
right.
by looking for scorch marks months later.
Exactly.
The evidence may be there, but it's not always going to fit neatly into a scientific experiment.
Yeah. Maybe we need to give more weight to personal experience and eyewitness accounts, even if
I think so.
They challenge our current understanding of how the world works.
I think that's an important point,
yeah.
especially when you consider that for many people,
yeah.
these experiences aren't just interesting anecdotes.
Right.
They're life-altering events
yeah.
that shape their worldview, their understanding of reality.
Absolutely. So we've tackled healings
yeah.
and skepticism. But now let's get into even more mysterious territory.
Okay, let's do it.
The world of exorcisms and the reality of spirits.
Ooh.
I have to admit, this is where things start to feel a little, well, eerie.
It's fascinating, though, right?
Yeah.
The belief in spirit possession,
yeah.
it's not some fringe phenomenon.
Yeah, right.
The data shows that the vast majority of societies
uh-huh.
throughout history have had some form of spirit possession belief.
It's a concept that cuts across cultures and continents.
It does.
Yeah. Dr. Keener really dives into mm. some common characteristics of these experiences.
Mm.
Sudden personality changes,
mm-hmm.
speaking in languages the person's never learned,
yeah.
violent outbursts,
yeah.
even instances of objects moving or appearing out of thin air.
It's like something out of a horror movie.
It really is.
It raises the question, though.
Yeah.
How do we differentiate
right.
between genuine spirit possession and just psychological phenomena.
Right.
It's tricky.
It is.
Even experts disagree.
Right. And that's where I appreciate Dr. Keener's approach, because he acknowledges
yes.
those cultural influences and stresses the ethical considerations
yeah.
for psychologists or counselors who are working with people who believe they're possessed.
The delicate balance.
It is. Respecting individual beliefs while also applying critical analysis.
Right. It brings us to the heart of this deep dive.
Yeah.
These are not just theoretical debates.
Right.
We're talking about real people.
Real people.
Grappling with extraordinary experiences.
And to really grasp the power of these accounts, I think we need to hear some of those personal stories.
I agree.
That Dr. Keener presents.
Let's do it.
All right. Get ready for this one. It's a wild ride.
Heck.
Dr. Keener introduces us to Joram Mugari, who was actually an exorcist.
What?
In traditional African religion before converting to Christianity.
That's amazing.
Imagine the perspective.
Yeah.
He must have.
It's a unique perspective.
Having worked within both systems of belief.
For sure. His story, along with many others that Dr. Keener highlights, suggests yeah. that the phenomenon of spirit possession is far more common than
yeah.
many realize.
Right.
And it's not limited to any one religion or culture.
Like the case of those three sisters in Nepal who had been mute for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And a pastor prayed for them.
Yeah.
And they were instantly able to speak again.
It's hard to dismiss those kinds of accounts.
Yeah.
As simply psychological.
Especially when they're coupled with other unexplainable phenomena.
Right.
And it gets even more intense. Dr. Keener tells the story of Robin Snelker, the head of industrial psychology at a university in South Africa.
Wow.
This is a highly educated and accomplished individual.
Yeah.
And yet he describes being controlled by an alien personality that resisted all conventional treatments.
And what finally freed him?
Christian prayer.
Wow.
He describes it as a spontaneous exorcism.
These stories really challenge our perception.
They do. If even someone in such a scientific field is acknowledging these experiences,
right,
maybe we need to reconsider our own skepticism.
I think that's a valid point.
Yeah.
It's not about blindly accepting every claim.
Right.
But about finding that balance
right.
between open-mindedness and critical thinking.
So how do we even begin to process these stories?
Yeah.
These claims of the supernatural interacting with our world?
That's the question.
What are the implications for our understanding of reality itself?
Those are the questions we'll grapple with next.
Okay, so picking up where we left off, I'm still kind of reeling from some of those personal accounts.
Yeah.
It's one thing to, you know, talk about spirit possession in theory.
Yeah.
But hearing those real life experiences, like that crucifix falling from the wall during an exorcism, that really sends chills down my spine.
It does.
How do you even begin to explain something like that?
It definitely pushes the boundaries of what we consider possible, doesn't it?
It does.
Makes you wonder if there are forces at play that we just don't fully grasp with our current scientific understanding.
And it's not just those dramatic physical manifestations. Dr. Keener also shares a story from his brother-in-law, a chemistry professor in Brazzaville, involving three boys from his Sunday school class who made a blood pact with a stranger.
Oh, wow.
Promising them power and wealth. Each boy started having these terrifying nightmares, and tragically, they began dying one after the other.
Like a curse straight out of a horror movie.
It's chilling. The youngest boy, terrified, finally confessed what they'd done.
Wow.
And pleaded for help. Thankfully, he was healed through prayer.
Wow. But it makes you think twice.
It does.
About those seemingly harmless rituals or superstitions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If a science-minded chemistry professor is acknowledging these forces,
right,
maybe we shouldn't be so quick to dismiss them.
I think that's a really crucial point. It highlights the need for a balanced approach.
Yeah.
We don't have to accept every claim of the supernatural.
Right.
But maybe we also shouldn't just categorically deny the possibility of something beyond our current
scientific framework.
So where does this leave us?
Yeah.
What are the implications of all these accounts? How do we make sense of them?
Well, one key takeaway for me is that these phenomena, whether we call them miracles, exorcisms, or extraordinary events, they're far more widespread and persistent than many realize.
It's like there's this whole other layer of reality operating beneath the surface.
Right.
One that most of us are oblivious to.
Yeah. But what does it mean to acknowledge that reality?
Right. Does it require a leap of faith, or can we approach it with a critical, discerning mind?
Dr. Keener's work, while rooted in his Christian faith, actually encourages both. He doesn't shy away from the complexities or ambiguities.
Right.
And he invites us to grapple with the evidence
and
consider the possibilities.
He presents the stories, the data, the historical and cultural contexts, and essentially says, okay, now what do you make of it? That's what I find so refreshing about his approach.
Yeah.
He's not trying to force a particular belief system, but he's inviting us into this genuine exploration of these phenomena.
It's an invitation to question our assumptions, expand our understanding of what might be possible, and maybe even glimpse a reality that extends beyond our everyday perceptions.
Absolutely.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's go back to the lecture for a moment.
Right.
What are some of the key arguments that Dr. Keener makes about the nature of miracles and exorcisms?
Well, he emphasizes that these events aren't just random occurrences.
Right.
They often serve a purpose, particularly in the context of spreading faith.
Right. He suggests that God might use these extraordinary signs to grab people's attention, shake them out of their routines, and open their hearts to something beyond the mundane.
Like those stories from China and Nigeria, where the unexpected weather events led to mass conversions.
It's like those events cracked open their existing worldview and allowed something new to take root.
It's true. But this raises some tricky theological questions, doesn't it?
It does.
If God can intervene in this way, Why doesn't he do it more often? Why is there still so much suffering in the world?
Those are age-old questions that have puzzled theologians for centuries.
Dr. Keener doesn't claim to have all the answers, but he does offer some interesting insights.
He does.
Based on his research.
What kind of insights?
Well, he points out that while God is certainly capable of performing miracles, he doesn't seem to act on a whim or simply in response to our demands. Mm. There's a deeper purpose at play,
right?
A grander plan that we might not always fully grasp.
So it's not about trying to manipulate God or force his hand, but about aligning ourselves with his will and trusting in his timing.
That's a good way to put it.
And he also suggests that miracles aren't meant to be a constant crutch or a replacement for human effort.
Mm-hmm.
They're more like glimpses into the potential for a transformed reality, a future where suffering will ultimately be overcome.
So they're signs of hope.
Yes.
Pointing towards something greater than our current experience.
They offer a taste of the divine power and love that are at work in the world.
Yeah.
Even amidst the chaos and the pain.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. But what about exorcisms? Yeah. What's their purpose in all of this?
Well, Dr. Keener argues that exorcisms, like miracles, are manifestations of God's power over evil.
Yeah.
They're demonstrations of his authority over spiritual forces that seek to harm or control us.
It's like a cosmic battle playing out.
Right.
Good versus evil, with God ultimately holding the upper hand.
In a sense, yes, but it's not a simplistic black and white view.
Right.
Dr. Keener emphasizes that even within the realm of the supernatural, there are complexities and nuances.
Right.
Not all spirits are malevolent.
Yeah.
Some might be lost or confused, and even those that are hostile are ultimately subject to God's power.
So how do we navigate this complex spiritual landscape?
Right.
How do we discern what's real, what's dangerous, and how to respond?
That's where discernment comes in.
Right.
Dr. Keener encourages us to approach these matters with humility, to study scripture, to seek wise counsel, and to test the spirits.
It's about relying on God's guidance as we navigate the unseen realm.
It is.
So it's not about fear or superstition,
but
about a deeper understanding of the spiritual dynamics at play and our place within that larger context.
This is making me think we need to move beyond a purely materialist worldview and embrace a more holistic understanding of reality, one that acknowledges the interconnectedness of the physical, the spiritual, and the divine.
That's a profound insight.
It raises the question, though.
Yeah.
If these accounts are true, what are the implications?
Right. What does that mean?
For our understanding of who we are.
Right.
And what we're capable of.
If miracles and exorcisms are possible.
Right.
What does that say about the potential for transformation, both individually and collectively?
Yeah.
What does it mean to live in a world where the seemingly impossible can become real?
Those are questions worth pondering. And they lead us to another fascinating aspect of Dr. Keener's lecture. The importance of personal testimony.
Yeah.
He doesn't just present abstract theories or historical accounts.
Right.
He shares stories from his own life
and
the lives of people he knows and trusts.
Like when he talks about the tree suddenly falling where his family had been standing moments before.
Exactly.
You can't help but feel the weight of that experience.
Yeah.
The sense of wonder and gratitude.
It makes these concepts come alive in a way that dry academic analysis just can't capture.
That's the power of testimony.
It is.
It bridges the gap between intellectual understanding and lived experience.
It does.
It invites us to step into the shoes of others and see the world through their eyes.
Even if their perspective challenges our own.
Even if it challenges our own, It reminds us that these aren't just abstract concepts.
Right.
They're about real people grappling with extraordinary events that shape their beliefs and their lives.
And this brings us to an important point that Dr. Keener makes about the role of doubt and questioning. He doesn't view skepticism as the enemy of faith.
Right.
But rather as a necessary part of the journey.
So it's okay to wrestle with these ideas.
It is.
Have doubts to ask tough questions.
Absolutely. In fact, he encourages it.
Yeah.
He suggests that genuine faith isn't blind acceptance.
Right.
But a process of grappling with the evidence, wrestling with the mysteries.
Yeah.
And ultimately choosing to trust in something
right.
beyond our limited understanding.
It's like that saying, the opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's certainty.
Right.
There's a certain arrogance in claiming to have all the answers and trying to fit God into a neat little box that we can comprehend.
Well said. It's more about a posture of humility, of openness, of seeking truth wherever it may lead,
right?
Even if it takes us beyond our comfort zones.
So it's a journey of both head and heart.
It is.
Intellect and intuition, reason and revelation.
But how do we apply these insights to our everyday lives?
Yeah. How do we move from simply hearing about these extraordinary events to actually experiencing the power of the supernatural in our own lives?
That's the key question, isn't it? And it's one that Dr. Keener addresses towards the end of his lecture. He reminds us that these phenomena aren't just meant to be intriguing stories or fodder for intellectual debates. They're meant to have a transformative impact on our lives.
Yeah. So how do we bridge that gap between theory and practice?
That's the question.
How do we move from simply hearing about these extraordinary events to actually experiencing the power of the supernatural in our own lives?
Well, Dr. Keener suggests that it starts with cultivating a posture of openness, of expectancy, of actively seeking God's presence and power in our daily lives.
So it's not just about believing in miracles, but about believing for miracles.
Exactly.
About stepping out in faith and expecting God to move.
It is.
In extraordinary ways.
That's about cultivating a spirit of faith that says, God, I believe you're capable of anything. Show me your power. Use me as an instrument of your healing and love in the world.
That's powerful. But what does that look like practically?
Right.
Does that mean we should all become faith healers or exorcists?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Dr. Keener emphasizes that there are many ways to partner with God in his work of transformation.
Right.
It might involve praying for the sick, offering words of encouragement, serving those in need, or simply being a beacon of hope and light in a dark world.
So it's about being open to the possibilities.
It is.
About aligning ourselves with God's purposes and stepping out in faith, even when we don't have all the answers.
Precisely. And it's about recognizing that the supernatural isn't confined to dramatic events or extraordinary individuals. It's woven into the fabric of our everyday lives.
Right.
Waiting to be discovered and unleashed.
It sounds like an invitation to live with a sense of wonder.
It does.
Of expectancy. Of being attuned to the subtle whispers of the divine. In the midst of the ordinary.
I think that's a beautiful way to capture it.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we live in a world where anything is possible.
Right.
Where the boundaries of reality are far more fluid than we often realize. Yep. And where the power of the supernatural is available to those who dare to believe.
Okay. I'm feeling inspired, but I also have to admit, a part of me still struggles with doubt. It's hard to reconcile these extraordinary accounts with my own everyday experience.
I think that's perfectly normal.
Okay.
Doubt isn't the opposite of faith.
Right.
It's a part of the process. It can actually be a catalyst for growth.
Yeah.
Pushing us to dig deeper, to wrestle with the complexities, and to ultimately arrive at a more mature and grounded faith.
So what advice would you give to someone who's wrestling with doubt, who wants to believe but struggles to reconcile these accounts with their own limited experience?
Well, first, I would say don't be afraid to ask questions. Engage with the material. Explore different perspectives.
Okay.
And allow yourself to wrestle with the complexities.
Right.
Second, I would encourage you to seek out community. To connect with others who share your questions and who can offer support and guidance on your journey.
Right.
And finally, I would say, don't underestimate the power of prayer.
Yeah.
Ask God to reveal himself to you, to open your heart to his truth and to strengthen your faith.
Those are great suggestions.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that faith isn't a solo journey. It's a shared experience, a communal endeavor.
Exactly. And it's a journey worth taking, even with all its twists and turns.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from miraculous healings and exorcisms to the complexities of faith and doubt to the transformative power of the supernatural.
But where do we go from here?
Right.
What are some practical steps we can take?
Yeah. What are some things?
To integrate these insights into our lives.
Yeah.
That's a great question. And it leads us to the heart of what it means to live a life of faith in a world where the supernatural is not just a possibility,
right,
but a reality.
So it's about more than just intellectual assent or passive belief.
It's about active engagement.
Right.
About aligning our lives with God's purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And about stepping out in faith,
yeah,
even when we don't have all the answers.
Okay, I'm ready for the challenge, but where do we start?
Well, I think one of the most important steps is to cultivate a spirit of expectancy instead of approaching life with a sense of limitation or skepticism.
Right, right.
We can choose to believe that God is at work.
Yeah.
That he's capable of doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine.
Right.
And that he wants to partner with us.
Right.
In bringing his kingdom to earth.
So it's about shifting our mindset, yeah, about believing for the impossible.
Precisely. It's about embracing a worldview that acknowledges the power of the supernatural and the reality of God's active involvement in our lives.
Okay, I'm starting to see it.
Yeah.
But how do we actually make that shift? It's one thing to say we believe, but it's another to actually live it out.
You're right. It takes intentionality.
Yeah.
It takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it often takes stepping outside of our comfort zones.
Right.
Dr. Keener offers some practical suggestions.
Okay. I like where this is going.
In his lecture.
Tell me more.
He encourages us to start by making a conscious effort to notice the God moments in our everyday lives.
Right.
It might be a moment of unexpected grace, a sense of peace in the midst of chaos,
right,
a timely word of encouragement,
yeah,
or a simple act of kindness,
right,
that makes a difference in someone's life.
So it's about paying attention.
It is.
Being present, looking for the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Exactly.
I love that. What else does he suggest?
He also encourages us to make prayer
a
more central part of our lives.
Right.
Not just rote prayers or prayers of petition, but prayers of surrender,
right,
of listening, of seeking God's will and guidance in every aspect of our lives.
So it's about cultivating a deeper intimacy with God.
It is.
A more conversational relationship where we're not just talking at him,
right,
but talking with him.
Precisely. It's about opening ourselves up to the possibility of two-way communication, of receiving guidance and inspiration from the Holy Spirit.
This is all starting to make sense.
Good.
But what about those times when we're struggling?
Whoa.
When we're facing challenges that seem insurmountable?
Yeah.
When we're doubting God's presence or his power? What do we do then?
Well, Dr. Keener reminds us that even in those moments, we're not alone.
Right.
He encourages us to lean into community, to surround ourselves with others who share our faith,
right,
who can offer support and encouragement, and who can pray for us when we're feeling weak or discouraged.
So it's about finding our tribe, those people who will journey with us through the ups and downs, who will challenge us, support us, and remind us of God's faithfulness when we're struggling to see it ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's about being willing to be that source of support and encouragement for others, to be a conduit of God's love and grace in their lives.
This is also inspiring, but I have to be honest, a part of me still feels a bit intimidated.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I want to believe for miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I want to experience the supernatural, but I also don't want to set myself up for disappointment.
Right.
What if I step out in faith and nothing happens?
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
And it's one that many people wrestle with.
I think it's important to remember that God doesn't operate.
He doesn't.
According to our timelines or expectations.
Right.
His ways are higher than our ways.
Mm-hmm.
And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
So it's about trusting in his timing.
Right.
In his wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
In his perfect plan. Even when it doesn't align with our own desires or expectations.
Precisely. And it's about recognizing that sometimes the greatest miracles happen.
Yes.
In the unseen realms.
Wow.
In the depths of our hearts, in the transformation of our character, and in the ripple effects of our actions that we may never fully witness.
It's like that saying, we may not always see the fruit of our labors, but we can trust that the seeds we plant will eventually bear fruit.
Beautifully said. And that's the beauty of living a life of faith.
It is.
It's a journey of surrender, of trusting in something
beyond
our limited understanding.
Right.
And of believing that even when we can't see it, God is working all things together for good.
Okay. I'm feeling both challenged and encouraged.
Yeah, it's like a fire has been lit within me.
Good.
A desire to experience more of God's power and presence in my life, but also a recognition that it's a journey, a process.
It is.
And I need to be patient and persistent.
And that's the key, isn't it?
It's about staying open, staying expectant, and staying connected to the source of all power and love.
So what's the next step?
Right.
Where do we go from here?
Well, I think Dr. Keener would encourage us to take what we've learned today and begin to apply it in our own lives.
Okay.
It might start with something small.
Right.
A commitment to daily prayer.
Uh-huh.
A decision to reach out to someone in need.
Yeah.
Or simply a conscious effort to notice the God moments in our everyday lives.
And from there, who knows what might happen.
Exactly. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
When we open ourselves up to the power of the supernatural.
Right.
And the infinite love of God.
But speaking of endless possibilities, this conversation is prompting me to think about something pretty profound.
Okay.
If these accounts are true,
yeah.
What does it mean for our understanding of reality itself?
That's a huge question.
It is.
It challenges us to completely rethink our assumptions.
Yeah.
To expand our worldview and embrace the possibility of a reality that's far more complex and mysterious
right.
than we often imagine.
It's like stepping out of the box of our limited perceptions yeah. and into this vast, uncharted territory where the seemingly impossible becomes possible.
Precisely. And that's where the real adventure begins.
Right.
But let's break it down a bit.
Okay.
How exactly do these accounts challenge our understanding of reality?
Well, for starters, they suggest that the material world
isn't
all there is.
Right.
There's another dimension, a spiritual realm,
uh-huh.
that interacts with our own in ways that we don't always understand.
It's like there's this whole unseen world operating alongside our own,
right.
influencing events and shaping destinies.
And that opens up so many fascinating questions about the nature of consciousness.
It does.
The interconnectedness of all things and the possibility of accessing knowledge and power beyond our ordinary senses.
It's almost like we're living in a multidimensional universe.
Yeah, yeah.
With different layers of reality intersecting and overlapping.
That's a compelling image.
Yeah.
And it resonates with a lot of ancient wisdom traditions.
It does.
As well as some cutting-edge scientific theories.
It's like we're on the verge of a new understanding of reality, one that integrates the best of science and spirituality.
Perhaps. But it's a journey of discovery.
It is.
And there's still so much we don't know.
So much.
Which is both exciting and a little daunting.
Right.
But where do we even begin to wrap our minds around these concepts?
Well, I think a good starting point is to simply be open.
Okay.
To the possibility that there's more to reality than meets the eye.
Right.
To allow ourselves to be curious, to ask questions, to explore different perspectives, and to be willing to revise our beliefs as we encounter new evidence.
So it's about adopting a posture of humility.
It is.
Of recognizing that we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And of being willing to let go of our preconceived notions. Right.
In the face of new information.
And it's about cultivating a sense of wonder.
Yeah.
Of awe, of recognizing the mystery and majesty of the universe and our place within it.
It's like we're being invited to become explorers of the unseen.
Yes.
To venture beyond the familiar and embrace the unknown.
But what about those of us who are more scientifically minded,
right.
who are skeptical of anything that can't be empirically verified?
Right. Is there a way to reconcile these seemingly opposing viewpoints?
I believe there is.
Okay.
In fact, I think science and spirituality are ultimately complementary.
Right.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Science seeks to understand the material world through observation and experimentation, while spirituality seeks to understand the immaterial realm through intuition, contemplation, and direct experience.
So it's not about choosing one over the other, but about finding ways to integrate them.
To see how they inform and enrich each other.
Exactly. And there's a growing body of evidence suggesting that science is actually beginning to catch up.
Oh, really?
With spirituality.
Hey, tell me more about that.
Well, for example, quantum physics has shown that the universe is not as solid and predictable as we once thought.
Mm.
At the subatomic level, particles can exist in multiple states. Host speaker.
Wow, I'm still processing everything we've talked about, you know?
Yeah.
it's incredible to think about how these accounts, mm-hmm. these glimpses into the supernatural,
right.
can challenge our very perception of reality.
It's a real paradigm shift, isn't it?
It is.
To move from a purely materialist view
right.
to one that embraces
right.
the unseen, the spiritual dimension
yeah.
woven into the fabric of our existence.
And Dr. Keener doesn't just present these concepts in a theoretical vacuum.
He doesn't.
He yeah. brings them to life through those personal stories.
Right.
Those firsthand encounters with the miraculous.
Like that account from Rodney Raghwan.
Yeah.
An Indian Baptist from South Africa.
Uh-huh.
His grandfather was confronted by this man.
Yeah.
Who claimed to have more powerful spirits.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah. It really struck me how Rodney's grandfather and his family responded,
mm-hmm.
not with fear or retaliation,
right.
but with prayer and fasting.
And when the man tried to send a spirit into their home,
yeah.
it was repelled.
It's amazing.
It's a testament to the power of faith, isn't it?
It is. The man even admitted that their God was stronger.
He did.
And those stories of witchcraft practitioners converting after encountering a force greater than their own,
right.
it makes you realize this isn't just about one specific religion or belief system.
I think so.
There's a universal element
mm-hmm.
to these experiences, something that transcends cultural boundaries.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It speaks to a deep human longing for connection with the divine.
Yeah.
For meaning and purpose that goes beyond the material world.
Right.
And for the power to overcome the forces of darkness.
I think you're right. But as we wrap up our deep dive, I think the most important question is, how do we apply these insights right. to our own lives?
Right. Dr. Keener offers some practical steps we can take
yeah.
to integrate these concepts into our daily experience.
I'm all ears. What are some of those practical steps?
He encourages us to cultivate a spirit of expectancy.
Okay.
To believe for the impossible
mm-hmm.
and to actively seek God's presence and power
right.
in our everyday lives.
So it's not about just passively observing these phenomena,
right.
but about actively engaging with them.
Yes.
About becoming agents of transformation in the world.
That's right.
It sounds a bit daunting, to be honest. Where do we even begin?
Well, I think it starts with a shift in perspective.
Okay.
Instead of viewing the world through a purely materialist lens,
right.
we can choose to see it through the lens of faith,
mm-hmm.
believing that God is actively at work in the world.
Right.
But he's capable of anything.
Yeah.
And that he desires to partner with us.
So it's about training ourselves to look for the possibilities.
Yes.
To expect the unexpected
mm-hmm.
and to believe that God is orchestrating events.
Right.
Even when we can't see the full picture.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And as we do that.
Yeah.
We may start noticing synchronicities.
Mm-hmm.
Experiencing moments of grace and witnessing what might seem like
right.
miracles unfolding in our lives.
It's about opening ourselves up to a dimension of reality
yeah.
that was always there, but that we might have been blind to before.
It's like we're putting on a new set of glasses
yeah.
that allow us to see the world in a whole new light.
And as we embrace this new way of seeing our lives, will inevitably be transformed.
Really will.
Yeah. Become more compassionate,
mm-hmm.
courageous, creative, and truly alive.
That's beautifully said. And ultimately, I think that's the message yeah. Dr. Keener is conveying.
Right.
It's yeah. not just about believing in miracles.
Uh-huh.
It's about believing for miracles.
Right.
About expecting the extraordinary and about living a life that reflects that belief.
This has been such an incredible journey.
Yeah.
We've explored firsthand accounts of the supernatural,
mm-hmm.
grappled with skepticism, mm-hmm. delved into the complexities of faith and doubt,
uh-huh.
and even challenged our understanding of reality itself.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up,
yeah.
I'm left with this sense of wonder, a feeling that there's so much more
right.
to discover, to experience, and to become.
And I think that's the perfect place to end.
Yeah.
This deep dive has been about opening our minds
yeah.
to the possibilities, to the unseen forces that shape our lives,
right.
and the transformative power of faith.
Thank you for joining me on this incredible adventure. And to you, the listener, we leave you with this.
Mm.
What will you choose to believe?
That's the question.
And how will that belief shape your life and the world around you? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.